Our scripture reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 4. That's on page 941 in your pew Bibles. We'll read the first 8 verses of the 4th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Page 941. Beginning with the first verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. Hear now the word of our God. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but trusts Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Thus we've read the first 8 verses of Romans chapter 4. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Merciful Lord in heaven, we acknowledge that this is Your holy word that is inspired by You. It's inerrant, infallible, and useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training us in righteousness. Lord, we ask that You would do so this morning. Hide Your word in our hearts. Water it with Your grace and truth that it may bear fruit in our lives. Be with the proclamation of Your word this morning, that it might edify Your people and glorify Your high and holy name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul has spent the first 3 chapters of his letter speaking about man's sin, showing us how great our sin and misery is, about whether we're Jew or whether we're Gentile. We've all sinned against the Lord, so that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 23 of chapter 3. He has shown us that the law points out our sin, and that therefore by works we cannot earn our way to heaven. In chapter 4, Paul is now moving more towards then how are we redeemed from that sin and misery. And he is using the story of Abraham to show us. He is using Abraham as a case study of are we saved by works or are we saved by faith. Because he asked the question, what shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? According to his own works, what has he done? Was there something that Abraham gained by his own strength? And the answer is no, he gained nothing through his own strength. Abraham did gain, but it was simply not done by his own power. Abraham's gain was by faith because he believed the promise of God. And so Paul is going to look at Abraham and say here, then we can see the difference between works and faith when we look at Abraham's life. Because when people gain something by their own strength, when they do it and accomplish it, they can rightfully boast. They can rightfully tell others of it. I did this. Now, I'm not saying, and Paul's not saying here, that boasting is right. Boasting in the idea of bragging and holding it over others. That's not what Paul's saying. But he is saying that if you accomplish something, a task, it's not wrong to tell others that that's something that I accomplished. I did this. It's your work, your accomplishment, and it's not a lie to say so. When the question is asked, did you earn this? You can rightly say, yes, I did. He gives us the picture of someone who's working. His wages are not a gift. He's earned those wages. He's entered into a contract with his employer. If you come and you harvest this field of barley or hay, I'll pay you this much. The man comes and he harvests that field of barley and hay and he gets paid that much. That's not a gift. That's what he earned. That's what was promised to him if he did the work, and he did the work, therefore he gets the payment. If he came and he harvested the field of barley or hay or whatever it might be, and then the man said, no, I'm not paying you at all. The man who refused to pay would be in the wrong. That's a debt he owes the person. He did the work. He deserves the pay. When we do our work, when we go to our jobs, and we do what we're hired to do, we rightfully expect to get the paycheck. That paycheck is owed to us because we earned it. We fulfilled our job, our part of the contract. The money is the debt the employer owes the employee. If salvation is by works and we do the work, then salvation is a debt owed to me. If salvation is do these things here, and I do those things, then I'm owed salvation. I've earned it. And I can tell others, I did the deeds required. Salvation is something I have accomplished. And then salvation cannot be understood as a gift or as a mercy. It's a debt that's owed to me. But if salvation is by faith, then there is no boasting possible. When we speak of salvation by faith rather than works, all boasting is excluded. Paul's already made that clear in verse 27 of chapter 3. And now he's showing us this in the narrative of the life of Abraham. Salvation by faith excludes boasting completely because it's not something we've earned. It's not something we've achieved. When someone asks, did you earn salvation? The answer is no, I didn't. Salvation by faith deflates the ego by its very nature. It doesn't lead to boasting, but rather humility. Just as when we read through the account in Genesis, we won't see Abraham boasting of salvation. Never once will he say, look what I have done. I have earned salvation. His faith is counted to him as righteousness. This is the idea that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. It is credited to our account. It's counted as ours. You can think of the analogy here. This is a banking term being used. That we have a bank account and it's overdrawn. We're in debt. It's about to be canceled. It's about to be wiped out. We're about to be thrown into debtor's prison. But Jesus transfers His money to our account. And all our debts are paid in full. Given enough to live forever. That's the picture of Christ's righteousness. We don't have any of our own. And we deserve the punishment for not having that righteousness. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus gives us His righteousness. Takes our debts upon Himself. Pays them in full. And gives us the righteousness that allows us to be at peace with God and brought into His family. By faith, Christ's righteousness is imputed to us. Our lawless deeds are forgiven and covered over. Our sins are forgiven. Because that's what we've earned by our works. We've fallen short of the glory of God. We've sinned. We've earned the wrath of God by breaking His words, His commandments, His law. And by faith we have those shortcomings those sins covered up by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now those sins are not held against us. Instead, they're put on Jesus Christ and He pays them in full on the cross. So our works not only do not earn salvation, our works earn guilt and damnation. But faith receives the righteousness of Jesus Christ, making us able to stand before the Lord, and covers up our sins in forgiveness so that they're not outstanding against us. Paul gives us this quote from Abraham's life from Genesis chapter 15. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was saved. The righteousness came to him not because of something he did. Not because he was a great man. Not because he moved out of Ur of the Chaldees. Not because he was doing things. But because he believed God. Because of his faith. That was how he received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And notice, we get another quote from the Scriptures. This time from the Psalms. From David. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not count his sin. That quote is telling us that the man is blessed whom the Lord does not count a sin against him. The man is given a great gift by faith. His sin is paid for by Jesus Christ and is not held against him. The man is beloved and shown great mercy. That man is not given what is due. He's blessed. He hasn't earned his way out of his sins. No, they've been forgiven. It's a gift. He's blessed. The man is by faith saved. This is what Paul wants us to see. He wants us to be thinking in this debate about are we saved by our works and are we saved by faith. He says, where should we go for the answer? And he tells us in verse 3, what does the Scripture say? Let's look. And he gives us those quotes from Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the promise given to him by God about having a son, despite his age, about having descendants as numerous as the stars. And Abraham believes. He has faith. He accepts the promise of the Word of God, and it's counted to him as righteousness. It's not a work done by Abraham. It's his faith. It's his trust in the promise. Paul quotes it here because he wants us to see it's not the work of Abraham, but Abraham's faith. He goes straight to the source of where the Jews and the Judaizers always want to point. They say, we're children of Abraham. Abraham was chosen. We're saved because we're related to Abraham. He says, let's see why Abraham was saved. Let's go look at the Scriptures. Here's Abraham's account in Genesis 15. How was he saved? He believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. The righteousness was not Abraham's. No, it came from God. Which fits with that theme verse that we read in chapter 1, verse 17. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Abraham had faith, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is given to him. Abraham's faith, not his work, justifies him in the sight of God. And there's no boasting in the life of Abraham. We see him trust and walk humbly before God. Yes, Abraham had his sins and he struggled with sin. We see him lying and we fear for in fear of his earthly life. We see Abraham make mistakes. But what we don't see is Abraham boast about salvation is something that I have done. It's something that I have accomplished. Never once does Abraham say, I earned this. In fact, it's odd to see the Pharisees so often invoke being a child of Abraham and boasting in Abraham when we never see Abraham boast in himself. That's what Paul wants us to see. You're putting your faith in the wrong place. You don't look and see the Scriptures for what they're teaching. Abraham understood. He's saved by faith. He believed and he was saved. Abraham walks humbly with his God, knowing that he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's all by faith. And David then is quoted as well. From Psalm 32, 1 and 2, his sins being covered and forgiven, the man is blessed with whom the Lord will not hold his sin against. Psalm 32 is thought to be one of those psalms that David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba. Along with Psalm 51, and David here is proclaiming his own blessed status as well as ours for anyone who believes. But note in these verses, there's no mention of works earning any of this blessing. In fact, it's just the opposite. The blessing covers the lawless works. It covers the failed deeds that don't live up to God's standard. It covers the sins that we've done. David is making it clear, I'm not saved. I wasn't forgiven by my works. I wasn't forgiven because I was king of Israel. I wasn't forgiven because I do great things or I wanted to build a temple or any of those things. He was saved because God was merciful and he believed. David doesn't do any works of penance or any works of that sort. If you go back and look at the story in 2 Samuel 12, he says, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan says, and you will not die. He confesses and believes and he's forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not count his sin against. You might be asking yourself, is it really that easy? I don't have to do anything to be saved. I don't have to accomplish some great task. All I have to do is believe the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'm saved and all of my great sins, and there's so many. And if we're honest and we look at ourselves, it's a mountain. You might be saying, surely I can't pay for this mountain by simply confessing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer is yes, you can. It is that simple. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by Jesus Christ's work. He's accomplished it all on the cross. That's what we have to believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came to die for your sins and for mine. Who hung on that cross because I deserved it. And in His life, I can be forgiven. Paul wants us to see that's how we're saved. That's how we're right with God. That's how we can have peace with God. Not through how great I am, but by how great the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is. If I believe in Him, then I can have that peace with God. That's Paul's main point. Don't trust in your works. Trust in Jesus Christ. But there is another very important point here that we can take from this section that we need not miss. And that's in verse 3 where Paul says, what does the Scripture say? This is a fundamental truth about how we as Christians ought to live our life. Don't overlook verse 3, the beginning part of verse 3. What does the Scripture say? This simple question that Paul shows us should provide guidance for how we go about our life. This is how Paul shapes his thoughts. It should be how we shape our thoughts. If there's a question that comes before us, we should automatically reflex. Our reflex action should be, what does the Scripture say about this? What has God said? Let me go there and find what God has said, and then I'll know. If you have a big decision to make in your life, what does the Scripture say? Faced with doubt or trial or temptation, what does the Scripture say? Looking to His Word. Finding out what God has told us. This is how the Christian must live his life. Am I saved by faith or works? What does the Scripture say? By faith. Should I boast? What does the Scripture say? No, you shouldn't boast. Boast rather about Christ and the cross. What should I do? What does the Scripture say? Repent and believe. It doesn't matter the question. Our reaction should be to turn and search God's Word, just as Paul does here. What does the Scripture say? Which also should create in us a humility. Because we are submitting ourselves to God and His Word. A humility that should be in us because we understand that it's not our work that saved us, but Christ's. We should follow the example of Abraham, who did not boast before God. But he understood how blessed he was. That blessing did not create arrogance, but rather humility. He doesn't brag to God or before God, but he walks humbly with his God. And is humble to others as well. He's been promised the land and his descendants will live in it. But Abraham doesn't then bully or brag before the people of the land and saying, this is all going to be mine. He understands humility. And even when his wife Sarah dies, he doesn't say, this is my land, I'm going to bury her here. He buys the land and says, let me have a place. And he lives at peace with those around him as much as he can. He prays the Lord will save and be kind to others like Lot or the people of Sodom. He even prays for them. Abraham shows us humility, and that same humility over and over. That humility ought to reign in us as we too are one chosen by Christ. We too are not saved by our works, but saved by faith. We ought to show that same humility. And thankfulness. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, that is not of your own. That's not of works. So that no one will boast. So we ought to be thankful to God for that gift of faith and go to Him and praise Him and give Him thanks and present ourselves as living sacrifices of thankfulness to Him. To serve Him however He would please. Now that we know how we've been redeemed from our sins and miseries, we ought to live a life of thankfulness. Going to Him in prayer. Looking to His Word. Coming and worshiping Him. All things that should flow from our heart of thankfulness. Let us now go to the Lord in prayer and give Him the thanks He so richly deserves. Let us pray. Gracious Lord in heaven, we do come before You thanking You for the gift of faith. We thank You that You have taken away our heart of stone and given us that heart that believes Your Word and sings Your praises. We thank You for that righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the blessings that You have not counted our sin against us, that You have covered our lawless deeds with the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you have called us out of the world and into your church. And we thank you for the church and the other people around us. We thank you for the communion of the saints. We thank you that there are those that can stir us up to love and good works, those who can pray for us when we need it. And we thank you that you hear our prayers, O Lord. Create in us, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.